Well, we are very, very glad to be back and to be in our home church and to be with all of the people that we love and care about. Just before I make a remark, I'm so glad that Will is here this morning and talking about River's Edge Camp. And I'll be one of the adult speakers at Family Camp this year, and our daughter and her family and their neighbor and their family will be joining all of us out at Family Camp this year. And I really believe in what happens at River's Edge Camp. I believe in River's Edge Camp. And I think that if you don't go, you're missing out on one of the best experiences that you will have all year long. So I encourage you to do that. We, in planning for our sabbatical, we wanted to make sure that we were taking care of the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional parts of our life, because all of those things get eroded as life goes on. And in ministry particularly, some of those really do get kind of lost along the way. And so that was our intent. And as we began to look at some of those things that we would do, we thought that we would go to Italy, see a lot of the church history. You'll see some of that in a moment, and to have an opportunity to start off in just a relaxing atmosphere. We went from Italy after 2 weeks to Romania, where we spent time with Corey and Aaron Sickstrom, and you will see more about the ministry things that we had a chance to do there. We came right back from there to Canada, and I went off then on a course to Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, just studying about spiritual life and small groups, that sort of thing. And then when I got back from that, Lori and I just went off with Compassion Canada to Nicaragua, and we spent a week in Nicaragua, and just it was a most incredible experience, and you'll see some of that. Then we came home and spent some time around our home for Christmas and with our family. And then after Christmas, we went down to Southern California, spent 3 weeks there, and then another week or so out in Phoenix, Arizona. Came back to Washington with my wife's family, and then came home for the last couple of weeks here. So those are some of the things that we did.
Sounds pretty boring.
And we've been thinking about trying to be bored again. Not born again, bored again.
Yeah, exactly. So, Laura, you've wanted to go to Italy for a long time, I believe. And tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well,
yeah, you're on.
When we looked at Italy, we looked at two things. The church history part of that, which was great because we had Colosseum, the Forum, the Pantheon, you know, catacombs, all of those were available to us to not only go through, but to study during that time as well. But the other part of that, the second part of our trip to Italy, was that we wanted to live the Italian life. That's what I really wanted. So we rented a little apartment. Yay! We rented a little apartment about an hour south of Rome, in a little town that very few people spoke English, and we know ciao, that's about it, of Italian. We didn't rent a car, we didn't have internet or phone or television. We walked a lot of places, took the bus, took a taxi, took the train, went to all kinds of little old places. This is a street in the little town that we lived in. This is our favorite cafe that gave us internet access, but we got to know the people very well in there. They knew all about our grandkids and the church and everything. He's my friend on Facebook. We got to know the people, and that's what we really wanted out of Italy. That's what I wanted. You know, the people at the food market, the fruit market, the meat market, the bakery, the old men that sit around outside the gas station on our way walking into town, the people at the bus stop. We got to know people.
Well, and it had been a busy run right up till then, and so all of a sudden there was this, like, completely different schedule for you. It must have been very important at that stage, eh? So from Italy, you then went over to Romania, and now we always explain this just because we know that there's people that may be new to the church, but so Corey and Aaron Sickstrom are from our congregation here, and they're missionaries in Romania, and are working with mainly with a lot of students that they work with in Craiova, in this city in Romania. And so we've been journeying along with them, and so that's where Murray and Laurie went on next. And so tell us a bit about that experience.
Well, Corey and Aaron had been part of our young married small group, and it's during that time in their young married small group that they really sensed God's call on their heart and life to go to Romania. And so we really felt like a sending group. Well, then we had the chance to go to Romania and spend a full week with them. We lived in the house. We got to play with their children, sort of a surrogate grandkids, and we got to see all of the things that they do. So every day we would be at one of the works that they were doing. When we arrived on a Saturday night, then Sunday morning we preached in one church, and then the evening we preached at another church, and then the next day we began to meet with the various teams that they work with. We were in schools pretty much every day, seeing the work that goes on with Heroes, and we had a time with all of the different pastors that are in the area. Laurie and I would go and take some of them out for lunch, sit down, talk to them, try to encourage them and hear their story and try to understand how we might just bless them in that week that we had together. Did some teaching with the team that Corey works with, and did a variety of things like that, and did get to see a good section of the lay of the land while we were there. And I think one of the things that we experienced happened the very last night that we were there. Laurie, tell them about that.
It was Corey and Aaron's anniversary weekend, and so they invited different young married couples. And Murray was able to teach that night, and we played some games, and we led the night and encouraged Corey and Aaron to be able to do that now in their own home from now on, to be leaders and just mentors to the other young marrieds that they work with.
I'll spring this on you. Some of your impressions of the pastors that you met with, the couples, what are some of the things that they face?
Well, you know, being a pastor is being a pastor pretty much anywhere in the world, and people are people. And so you face many of the same kinds of difficulties, but there are some things that are very unique to the Romanian culture. And so as a result of the many years of communism that was laying on the land, there's a mindset that is quite resistant to things that have to do with the spiritual life. And a lot of people who are, I would say, in the 45-plus category are very angry. They it's not like they're fighting like that. They're just angry in their heart. And so you know what anger does? It hardens you. And so that was kind of a lot of the mood of the land. Optimism is rising in the younger people, but there's not much optimism in the older folks. And so there's that tension that they're continuing having to deal with. And pastors are trying to really reignite faith amongst the young people in particular. And I have to tell you, it's just more than exciting for Laurie and I to be in the churches with them and to see the life and the vibrancy that is beginning to take place across Romania.
Just a side note, for the team that went to Romania before us, they have wonderful things to say about your time there. Just how encouraging you were, just how they wanted to be like you. But just know that when you send these teams, it means a huge deal to these pastors and their congregations.
That's a great point, because you know, one of the goals of our missions plan here is that we want to build long-term relationships with those places where we're investing in, and so one of the things that we would do is to send teams multiple times, and that you see returning people. So Jillian Fox, for example, is going to go, and Nick Swatsky are part of the team returning to Romania. So that's on purpose, that we want to continue to build those things. But then the ongoing relationship, Joel Robert is actually in Romania as we speak with Corey and Aaron, just visiting them, spending time with them, and it's that relationship that we can have with them, and it just builds and builds, so it's great. So you got the chance to then go with Compassion Canada down to Nicaragua, as you're saying, and so Patty and I had the privilege of doing that to Ecuador one time, and just the way that you get to see the ministry of sponsored children and the churches, all of those things. So tell us a bit about your experience.
Well, we went to Nicaragua with Compassion, and Compassion is a ministry that really cares for children. And so Lori and I sponsor a child in Nicaragua, and we got to meet him. And there you get to see Kevin. Doesn't he look great? Yeah. You ever seen a smile that just sort of, you kind of had to just turn on the batteries, and away it went. And it just gleamed, that smile. And we had a great, great time meeting Kevin. We met him the very first day that we were there because he went to the church that we were going to that morning. Dynamic, alive place. And then we got to meet Kevin. Of course, it's a little awkward. He doesn't know English. We don't know Spanish and had never met before. But then 3 days later, they took all of us that had sponsored children. All of us went to a amusement park. And they gave us the whole amusement park, only 25 people, but they gave us the whole amusement park for the morning, and then some others came in the afternoon. But we had a wonderful time. They played Christian music over the sound system, and we had a great time. I mean, Lori just and I splashed in the water and shot them with our squirt guns and went on the go-karts and went down the slides and just... It was an unbelievable experience just to connect with him and with his mother and his brother. And so that was obviously a big highlight for us. But tell them a little bit more, Lori, about some of the work that happened in the churches.
Each of the projects are held in the local church. That's one of the things that makes Compassion wonderful, is that, and sets them apart from other sponsorship programs. The project is held daily in a local church in different cities. So if you sponsor a child, like Kevin, he goes every afternoon after school from the morning into a project into the local church. He learns, he has lessons on Jesus. He learns about health issues. He learns about music. He learns how to live family life. They have a meal of such that they take all the crumbs and put them in their shirt so that they can take that home to their brothers and sisters. Oh, look at those smiles. It is hotter than I'll get out there, let me tell you. But
it made me think about hell a lot.
You have to know that the little girl that's not smiling on my lap had already wet her pants.
On her lap.
Yeah, on my lap. But somehow it just didn't matter. that's during a worship time in the projects. So probably 400 kids in that project alone. But the churches are vibrant. They are welcoming. I missed hugs from here, and I didn't miss them when I was in Nicaragua, because you are just overcome with graciousness, with loving care. We visited a home because they do home visits as well. We went into a home where the grandma is, Abuela is 10 years younger than I am, and we were there for a grandchild of hers. And I sat out and talked with her as Murray went in and visited the house, the home, but dirt floors, you know, everybody sharing a bed or a sling, you know, hammock that people sleep in, and yet they had a gift for us. Warm, gentle, loving people. And that is all through the churches. And one of the church services that we went to in Nicaragua was a 12-year-old speaker girl. They used their youth really well. She did a good job from what I understood. But yeah. Anyway, loved the churches there.
Yeah, that sounds like a great experience. And so we know that as it gave you confidence, I'm assuming, as you understand about Compassion with like some of the sponsorship and all of that. So let's see. Well, you spent quite a bit of time together. What was that like to have that kind of a schedule that was you kind of away from the routine of life here.
Yeah, so Lori had been on working right up until the time we took sabbatical, and then she left her work so that we could go on sabbatical together. And it is, you think, I'll be honest, you wonder ahead of time, okay, how's it going to be when you're together 24/7 for 5 months? And, who's going to kill who? Oh. Yeah, and, traveling and all those kinds of things always raises tension, doesn't it? Always raises those kinds of issues. And it was just so much fun to be together for that long. It deepened, enriched, made our relationship so much stronger. I think we've always loved each other. I think the 40th wedding anniversary should have demonstrated that. But to be able to be together and to come away feeling like you don't want to be as apart as you normally have to be in working life, that was a very, very powerful thing. Yeah. Don't add to that, Colin. Just move on.
Okay. So let's talk about this season then. A lot of people are going, so how was it? What was this all about? And what do you, as you have been reflecting initially, we know you're barely back, but like, what do you think was significant about this season in your lives?
Well, I'll start that one off. I think part of our time that we spent, we went down to California, and part of that was just, a lot of that was just incredible relaxation. I did study pretty much every day, just thinking about some things and doing some writing and that. And then, but we went to some missions just to remind us of the history of the life of Christianity in North America. This is the one in one of my favorite ones, San Juan Capistrano. There we go, and beautiful, beautiful place where the peace of God is so present, and just able to be in those kinds of places, to be at the ocean and see God's full creation. I think there's many things that come to your mind as you go through times like that. It's a I was just so grateful for the space to be given to do some thinking and reflecting. I think about Bonavista Church, and I was reminded again that the gospel is what really transforms lives. You can have all the programs and things that churches have to have, but the life of Christ is the one that transforms our lives. And it was reminded to me over and over again. Other thing I think really struck me was that the children really do matter. Did you know that 85% of people who are Christians made that decision between the age of 4 and 14? And yet we put about 95% of our resources in people who are after 14. And it just reminded me again, we have this incredible rich store of young people downstairs. And it is no bigger deal to have an adult who is 45 come to Christ than it is for your child who is 4 to come to Christ. Right? Do I hear something? Amen? Yeah. And so, I've had people ask me that, and I think if your child is 4 years old and asks you to come to Christ, if you can come to Christ, and my grandson Ben did that this week, who's 4. You should leap out of your chair,
yeah,
and you should grab that kid, and you should hug him, and you should let them know that is the best thing you could possibly ever do. And I want our church to become that kind of a church that just celebrates and encourages and helps parents and all of our community to bless children in the name of Jesus. I think that matters a great deal.
Well, but to go on with that, like with compassion, for example, that actually is transforming families, right? Like you met Kevin's mother, and you realize that there's significance all the way through the ripple effects.
It's incredible, the ripple effect that takes place.
Yeah.
Fred kind of talked this morning about, aren't you glad to be home, and this is home. We've been in a lot of churches, and we have. We've been in churches with thousands of people, and we've been in churches that had less than 100. And in all of those situations, yes, you're able to worship, whether in word or song. But what I missed, not just the hugs, but worshiping next to someone that I love and care about, and I know that they love and care about me. Murray has talked a lot about how we are the church. This isn't just the building, that we are the church. I found that to be true. I've been attending Bonavista for 30-some years. So to go away and to sit in a congregation that I knew no one other than Murray, it was a great service, you know, great music, I mean, fabulous music. You know, they cut their own CDs, for goodness sakes, but it left me empty inside because I didn't sit, other than Murray, I didn't sit next to people that I cared about and loved and knew about their life, and they knew about my life. And again, it just meant to me, this is church. This is home. Amen.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the pace of everyone's lives, I mean, that's why, like a potluck, we use whatever excuse we can get, right, to have extended time here at church, because all of a sudden people are scattered, busy about their week, and so small groups and all of these things that we try to do are about trying to build community opportunities. Whether people take those opportunities and use them in that way is really a choice that people have to make, but you do hear that from people, right, that they feel like they have found their home, wherever that might be. And so for Bonavista, that's definitely true.
We watched a baby dedication.
Oh, yeah.
There were 12, I think, babies being dedicated. And I love baby dedications. I have yet to meet Aaron and John's new little one back there. But it really was kind of just an empty ritual that was happening because I didn't know them. I didn't know the couple that was standing there. I didn't know their life story. I didn't know how they were going to struggle to raise that child financially or anything. There's something about knowing each other and being known by someone that creates something that isn't duplicate in all the world.
And may that be more and more true for us here, right? That we would take that effort to know one another more. Closing thoughts. Did you miss us? Do you like us? Did we care? Oh. Yeah, that's right. We already. Oh. That's right.
Yeah. Well, if it isn't evident yet in what we've said that we missed you terribly, let me say it out loud. We missed you terribly, and it's a discipline almost to, for 5 months, stay away, even when you're here, and yet it was an important discipline for us to exercise in order to realize the value and what a sabbatical could bring. But yes, you are ingrained, stitched into our hearts, and so it's very difficult to be away. Not that I minded being away. There's some wonderful things about going as we did. I want to do this. I want to thank each one of you. I can't come down the rows and do that. So right now, just let me thank each one of you for being so gracious in helping us to go on sabbatical and by being encouraging and blessing us in it. You have extended your grace to us in this way. I want to thank Pastor Colin, who I was confident ahead of time would lead the congregation well. And I think you should thank him as well. And the rest of our staff, of course, is included in that. When you think about
exactly,
we think about Alan and Edith and Nora and David and Heike. Did I miss somebody? Hope not. And just all of them pulled together so well as a staff, and then you as a church, working together to see God's work continue on. So thank you for blessing us. Thank you for welcoming us home. And yes, and Lori reminded me, and she wanted me to thank Brenda for taking care of the kitchen while Lori was absent, Brenda Graham. So thank you for all of that. And for our board and for all of the people who just have been carrying things so well. We're grateful for that. So may the Lord bless you. Mm-hmm. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May you receive his peace. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.